Now, I had Mike read that portion of Scripture to kind of set up what our text is here this morning. I did that because Mike's a friend of mine, and I want him to keep him a friend. And again, it just sets up our text, but we'll actually be in Joshua chapter 7 today, and we will go through the entire chapter. Now, again, I'm going to be very conscious of time here. And we will go through the chapter quickly, but I did feel that there was something the Lord wanted us to hear or focus on this morning as we focus on reclaiming victory. As you probably could recognize from a lot of the hymns that we sang today, that we really wanted to highlight victory in 2020. Because I know this morning there was many here that probably had a very difficult 2019, whether it was from health issues or financial problems or maybe relationship or family situations or a loss of a loved one or simply attacks from our relentless enemy. 2019 probably seemed very bleak for many in here, and maybe so bleak that it just seemed like there was no hope for victory. But one thing I want us to glean this morning is that there is victory in Jesus. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please embrace that truth this morning. Also embrace the truth that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I know we can look around at this world as we had to so vividly remember the tragedy that happened in Texas a week ago. And I know we can look at the chaos that occurs around us in this world, and maybe it can cause us to be a little discouraged or doubtful. But I want us to claim that there is victory in Jesus, and that the one that is in you is greater than anything that this world can throw at us. Now, there's some examples that I wanted to give. Now, I was kind of touring with the idea of maybe some examples of those who achieved success from defeat or maybe reclaimed victory. And I thought about maybe utilizing some biblical examples like David or Peter or Paul. But I really wanted to embrace some examples that are probably more common to our time or more common to our culture about those men or women that have obtained success from defeat. The first one that came to my mind was Michael Jordan. I know you're like, oh, pastor, another sports guy. But you know what? There's some things that we can learn from men like that. Not necessarily biblical, because as far as I know, Michael Jordan's not a Christian, or Albert Einstein or Walt Disney, the men that I'm going to mention. But we can still learn some things, and I think there's one thing that we're going to tie into something that I kind of obtained from Michael Jordan, and I think is really important to what we're talking about today. But Michael Jordan was a man who was described by many as having God-given ability to play the sport of basketball. And I don't know how many of you know this, but Michael Jordan was actually cut from his high school basketball team. Michael Jordan went on to win a national championship with the University of North Carolina. He went on to become an Olympic gold medalist. Michael Jordan won 6 NBA championships. Mind you, a man who got cut from his high school basketball team. Won 6 NBA championships, was a 5-time NBA MVP, and a 4-time All-Star MVP. The next person I'd like to bring to mind is Albert Einstein, who was not able to speak until 4 years old. And some think that he even was autistic. Teachers told Albert Einstein that he wasn't going to amount to much. But Albert Einstein was one of the greatest minds of our time and a Nobel Prize winner. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper for lacking imagination and having no original ideas. Won 22 Academy Awards. We can see some great examples of men who, and again, I'm sure we could go down the gambit with ladies as well, that achieved success after defeat. who reclaimed victory in their lives over defeat. Now, again, I mentioned Michael Jordan. And when I was young and I played basketball in high school and college, one of my favorite commercials by Michael Jordan did not show him shooting a jump shot. Did not show him orchestrating a gravity-defying slam dunk. He was simply walking into the stadium. And as he walked into the stadium, he said, I've missed 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost 300 games. 26 times I have been trusted to shoot the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed time and time again. And that is why I succeed. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. But we have victory in Jesus this morning. And at times, I think it can be more difficult to battle a defeated mindset or a discouraged heart than actually dealing with the failure itself. Especially if we'd once achieved victory in this particular area. And I had Brother Mike read Joshua chapter 6. And of course, in that passage, we see that in Israel's quest to march into the land of Canaan to obtain the promised land, they had just received a miraculous victory, an incredible blessing from God, as the Lord delivered the mighty city of Jericho into their hands. The Israelites crossed the River Jordan and were on their way to claim the promised land. And just off this miraculous victory, everything looked great, didn't it? Think about those times in your life where things are just going great. No issues, no problems, no storms. Everything's going great. So great and for such a long period of time that it just seems like nothing's going to change that. Nothing's going to change it. Well, I think there's three truths when we look at storms. You're either in the storm, you're either just coming out of the storm, or a storm's coming. And we can really see this true with Joshua and the people of Israel, just coming off this miraculous victory. So now as we work our way into our text here in chapter 7, again, I will be fast as I possibly can, I promise. Verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel, again, we're in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and a cursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing and angered of the Lord what was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not our people to labor thither, for they are but a few. You know, Joshua sends some spies to Ai, and it looks like another easy victory for Israel. So easy that they were only going to send, about 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers. Ultimately, they send 3,000. So let's look at verses 4-6 as we continue. Like I said, we're going to move fast. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. What happened to this easy victory? What happened to God's blessing? What happened to God's promise? Everything was going so good. How could everything that was going so good go so bad? Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for good. to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So let's look back to Joshua 6, verse 17. It says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, any wise, keep yourselves from the," what? "Accursed thing. Lest you make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are" what? "Consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord." See, it was common for soldiers after battle to take some of the spoils of victory, but this was forbidden by the Lord. Those spoils of victory were to be consecrated. Kodesh is the Hebrew word for things to be set apart. They were to be consecrated or set apart unto the Lord. And this is what I think one of the first lessons that he was giving Israel, because as they moved into the promised land, the land of Canaan, there was a lot of pagan influence. And he was trying to separate Israel from that heathen and pagan influence. And we see that the Israelites all through the book of Joshua really struggle with that mindset of separation. I think we need to embrace that same truth today in the church. Separation. We should be separating ourselves from the accursed thing. We should be separating ourselves from sin. And so the problem here is there was sin in the camp. The blessing of God left Joshua and the people of Israel because of one man's sin. An entire nation was affected by one man's sin. Last week, Pastor Herm preached and talked about our time and committing our time to the Lord in a way to draw us closer to Him. And he talked about having a short account. And ultimately what that means is we should be having a short sin account. We should be sensitive to the sin that is in our lives. You know, this morning, Pastor Dave talked about an evaluation that takes place to make sure that we don't have any sin in our lives before we commemorate the Lord's Supper, before we partake of the bread and the wine. But that evaluation, know this, that evaluation cannot take place one time a quarter of a year. That evaluation must take place in our lives daily and often. You know, David in the Psalms often cried out to God to expose any transgression, any iniquity in his life, because he didn't want anything to hinder his relationship with God. Cries out to God and says, "Expose any iniquity, any transgression that's in me, because I don't want anything between me and you." You know, we think about revival in 2020, and I think every born-again believer here this morning would say, "Boy, I would love to see revival take place. I would love to see revival take place in this country. I would love to see revival take place in Pennsylvania. I'd love to see revival take place in Grace Bible Church. I'd love to see revival take place in my own life." And the one thing that Israel had to embrace here was that before the Lord could bless Israel, sin had to be exposed and dealt with. Now, the purpose of my sermon here this morning is not for anyone to publicly come and expose any sin they may have in their life, because ultimately what it comes down to this, it's our relationship with God. We should be asking God to expose anything in our lives privately that would hinder our relationship with Him. The first question I have here this morning, is there sin in the camp? And listen, I'll be perfectly honest with you, sin's difficult to preach. And I can tell you this morning, I'm not going to pull out any specific sins. That's not my concern. My concern is that we be open to evaluate ourselves so that the Lord could expose anything in our lives that would hinder what's supposed to be an amazing relationship with our Heavenly Father. The way I wanted to want us to kind of look at it when it comes to this is, think about it this way. If you had a disease, a fatal disease, that was curable, how much sense would it make to go on through your life and finally, ultimately die from that disease? Wouldn't make any sense, would it? We would go to the doctor and have whatever surgeries necessary for us to be able to continue in our lives. Well, the same thing applies with sin. Hopefully what we're looking to do here by being on a short sin count or we're evaluating ourselves on a continual basis is that if there's that sin that we can have removed or be forgiven to help us in our relationship with the Lord, that we would be open to do that. So just off this defeating the mighty Jericho, they send just 3,000, which seemed to be an easy victory, but instead they suffered a devastating defeat. We see here that Joshua rent or tore his clothes in devastation, and that the elders took dirt and dust and rubbed their face with it. And ultimately what they were doing was showing an outward expression over their inward devastation. When I was a youth pastor, probably one of the most difficult things that I had to deal with when it came to counseling teenagers, and some of you may be familiar with this, it's the term cutting. Now I'm going to put faces there. And these teenagers would literally, more times than not, cut their wrists with whatever they could find. And what they were ultimately doing was they were expressing outwardly the pain that they had inwardly. Another thing that they were also doing is they were hoping by causing themselves pain on the outside of their body. It would numb the pain that they're feeling inside their body. And so that's the picture that I want us to see here when Joshua rent his clothes and was totally devastated at the fact that Israel went from God's blessing and provision to his abandonment due to one man's sin. And so another thing I want to put to rest this morning is the notion that one person's sin doesn't affect others. As we can see here from Achan's sin, that one man's sin affected an entire nation. You know, one person's sin can affect marriages. It can affect families. It can affect relationships. And that's why it's so important that we keep ourselves on a short sin count, that we continue to evaluate our spiritual condition often. Because God promises to the believer he will never leave us nor forsake us. So basically what that means is, to the believer, our relationship with God is up to us. He's always with us. He's always longing to be close to us. He's always longing to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with us. He wants that, so it comes down to us. Hebrews 11:6. I know I'm driving the cameraman crazy. Sorry about that. Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that" what? "That diligently seek him." To reclaim victory in 2020, first we're going to look at the response. And I promise I'll go through these points quickly. The response. Look at verses 6 through 15. "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, What shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, he tells them again, up. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. We'll stop there. So in responding to the Lord, we must get up. You know, Joshua was devastated at this defeat because he knew what it meant. That God's blessing had left Israel. But at this point, he didn't know why. And that's why our time alone with the Lord is really so vital. That time of evaluation, that time of being still, maybe that time of listening. And if you come back tonight, we're going to talk about, are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of truth? Are we listening to the voice of God in our lives? Are we listening? We have to slow down long enough because we get ourselves in this fast-paced life, in this fast-paced society, to the place where we don't hear the Lord's voice. Turn to John chapter 10, please. Keep your finger on our text. John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 5. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Sounds like most of you are there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now the sheepfold here represents the nation of Israel. And the sheepfold was actually a cave or some areas that were surrounded by walls that would give the sheep protection from thieves and other animals. The shepherd would sleep in the fold to protect the sheep. And here we see that Jesus is the shepherd who came by the door. Jesus came as a fulfillment of prophecy. He came legally, and he came with God-given authority. And anyone else would have come as a thief and a robber. But Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for the flock. Now the porter there in verse 3 is the Holy Spirit who opens the door or our ears to hear his voice. That's why it's so important that we spend that quiet time to hear him, to hear his instruction and his leading and his guiding in our lives. And we have to be careful not to allow ourselves to fall into the trap of being so busy that we don't stop long enough to hear his voice. You know, Joshua strived to have this relationship to the Lord, to hear His voice and to have God's blessings. And so the thought of losing that relationship brought him great pain and sorrow. And so another question I want us to focus on this morning is, how important is that relationship to us? Is that relationship important enough to us to appeal to God and have an evaluation done in our lives and ask Him to expose it to us so that there is nothing in our lives that would hinder our relationship with Him? Now, Joshua does something important here, if you want to go back to our text. He does something important here and something I want us to take note of. He asks why. You know, when we go through trials and tribulations and testings in life, it's important that we seek the Lord and ask Him why. Are we going through testing for our growth? Are we going through teaching for our knowledge? Maybe He's trying us so that we can evaluate ourselves. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you could. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I'm sure many of you may have verse 14 memorized, and if you do, feel free. But I did kind of want us to slow down and look at this for a minute. Because I really believe that if we take 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, and we apply all those important doctrines in our lives, I believe it can really help us reclaim victory in 2020. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now the Hebrew for the word humble there has it's an active state of being, to either to be humbled or to become humble. The word seek there in the Hebrew, bakash, means to require oneself to inquire. I'm going to say that again. To require oneself to seek. To require oneself to inquire about the Lord. Or maybe inquire about our spiritual condition. You know, when you think about requiring oneself to inquire, think about it this way. You know, obviously, if someone asks you to inquire about something, you're not going to have the same desire if you are challenging yourself to inquire about it. Just the other day, I was trying to help my son mount a TV, and I lost a screw as I was taking it off to move it. Now, if my wife would have said, "Honey, can you find the screw?" I might have got a camera, you know, my cell phone, flashlight, and I might have looked, "Honey, I can't find it." But I'm the one who lost the screw. I'm the one who wanted to find the screw. And so I'm moving dressers, and I'm moving couches, and I'm moving beds, and I'm moving the whole world in that room to find the screw. I never found the screw. But I can tell you, I had a great desire to look for the screw because I was requiring myself to seek it. I wasn't being asked to seek it. And so if we require ourselves to seek the Lord or inquire, what He will do is then expose those things that need to be exposed. He will show us. And then if we turn from our wicked ways, as we continue to read here, what will He do? He will hear from heaven, He will forgive our sin, and heal our land. And that's more than just the United States of America. That's our lives. That's the issues in our lives that He will look to heal. And I think if we take this verse and really claim it in our lives and try to utilize it daily in our lives, it can really help us regain victory in 2012 or 20. But, you know, Joshua, you know, what he does here is he humbles himself to seek the Lord, and the Lord answers. And the Lord tells him that evaluation needs to take place. Examination needs to take place to restore our relationship because there are sin in the camp. But he tells something to Joshua very important. In verse 10, he says, "Get up." Get up. Praise the Lord for those times where we mess up and we make mistakes and we start feeling sorry for ourselves and we start listening to the voices of the enemy. And we get to the place where maybe we're on our face and we just feel like we can't go on. And God says, get up, because I'm not done with you yet. There's more you need to do for me. And so I praise the Lord for those times. And I pray that as we mess up, we spend that time seeking the Lord's face and allowing ourselves to be evaluated and have those things exposed so that we can get them right with God, because we want to get up and continue to serve the Lord, because there's more He wants to do in our lives. Second, we look at the revealing. The revealing, verses 16 through 23. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, of Achan, and the son of Carmi, and the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah. Of the tribes of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils of the goodly Babylonian garment, and took 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekel weight, and I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. You know, in this important evaluation period, the Lord reveals what needs to be addressed for restoration to take place. Joshua learned an important lesson. Sin must be evaluated, it must be exposed, and it must be addressed before restoration and a blessing from the Lord can take place. And unfortunately, I think there are believers that are all over this world that are not enjoying the most magnificent relationship that we could possibly know. Better than a husband-wife relationship. Better a father-son, father-daughter, sibling. Whatever relationship. No relationship is better than the relationship we can have with our Heavenly Father. None. And unfortunately, so many believers, because they are afraid of doing the evaluation, they're afraid of it being exposed, they are hindering what it could be the most amazing relationship we could ever know. In fear of what it may expose or what they may have to change in their lives. Some believe that in this text, the world that Jericho is symbolic of the world, where Ai is symbolic of the flesh. And the mindset here is, many of us get victory over maybe the obvious things of the world, but maybe we are falling defeat to the things in our flesh because they're not as visual, they're not as obvious, they're easier to hide. You know, Achan may have thought it was no big deal to take a few things, that it won't affect anyone else, but it affected 3,000 soldiers, it affected a nation, and it affected Joshua. And when it comes to sin, we have to make sure that we don't do a couple of things. We have to make sure that we don't justify it or rationalize it or trivialize our sin. We have to evaluate it. We have to claim it. And then we have to turn from it. You know, repentance isn't something that just occurs before we trust Christ as Savior. Repentance is something we should be doing often in our lives as believers. As we are struggling with sins in our life, we should be turning from those sins and saying, Lord, I don't want that in my life anymore. I don't want anything that's going to hinder my relationship with you. You are number one in my life over any fleshly desire I could have. Achan tried to hide his sin. Numbers 32:23 says, before your sin will find you out. And so his sin was revealed. Now, it may have been different if he would have been open and right away confessed his sin. And to reclaim victory in 2020, I want us to embrace a couple things. First of all, you may not have, realize this. You are one genuine, sincere, repentant prayer away from restoration with God. One prayer away from His forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a believer today, you're one prayer away from restoration with God. If you're not a believer today, you're still one prayer away with a repentant heart and having faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're one sincere, genuine prayer away from restoration with our Heavenly Father. Achan's sin not only affected himself, but also his whole family, as Achan endured church discipline to the greatest extent. Not just him, but his entire family, verses 24 and 25. It says, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones, we see the reminder. The reminder. Verses 25 and 26 as I finish. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Joshua built a reminder called the Valley of Achor because he wanted to remind Israel the consequences of sin. He wanted Israel to remember that there's penalty in breaking the covenant of God. There's consequences in sinning against the Lord. But he also wanted to remind them that you can have God's blessing. There is God's blessing, God's provision, God's promises can be restored if we are faithful and obedient to Him. So I close with a couple questions this morning. You know, do we care enough about our relationship with the Lord to do an evaluation in our lives? And not just one time a quarter, not one time a month, not even one time a day. But throughout our days, are we opening ourselves to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, evaluating our lives so that things can be exposed so that they don't hinder our relationship with the Lord? Do we seek the Lord's face? I mean, do we humbly require ourselves to inquire Him, to seek Him? Because sin has many faces. Again, I had no intention this morning of pointing out this sin and that sin. Sin has many faces, and we need to be willing to seek the Lord's face, evaluate our spiritual condition, and make sure that there is nothing that's hindering our relationship with the Lord. And one other thing I want us to embrace this morning is sin does affect others. Don't let the enemy lie to you and deceive you to think that your sin only affects yourself. Sin affects families and marriages and relationships. Sin affects others. And as we have our time of invitation here, as we do at Grace Bible Church, I'm not looking for people to come forward and say, Pastor, I got this exposed sin. I want to get it. I want you to do that from your seat. If you feel led to come forward for that, that's entirely up to you. I'm not trying to twist anybody's arm this morning to come and say, I've got all this sin that I'm exposing and I'm giving before God. If you feel led to do that, please do that. Our invitation is open for those who need prayer for health, for salvation. It's open for all. So just because you come out this morning, I don't want people to say, we shouldn't be looking around anyway, ultimately. I want us to ask God from our seats to evaluate us. Say, Lord, I want you to expose anything in my life that's hindering my relationship with you because I don't want anything. There is no fleshly desire that I have that I want in place of my relationship with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here this morning. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you that we can glean from it. We can learn from mistakes like Achan's to realize that we're not to disobey your word. We are not to disobey the covenants that you placed before us, the commandments. We are to strive to be in a close, intimate relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon us this morning. Lord, I pray for that one who's maybe one prayer away from salvation. Maybe they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they haven't realized that they are one sincere, genuine, faithful prayer from having their eternity sealed and salvation through Jesus Christ. And if that person is here and they say, you know what, I would like to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior, you can do it right there from your seat. Quietly praying this prayer to the Lord. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for sinning against you. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. I'm repenting. I'm turning from that sin, Lord. I believe that Jesus was man and he was God and he lived a perfect life. I believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. I believe in his glorious resurrection. And right now I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you could just come forward as we have our time of invitation, let me know. I'd love to help you continue to grow in your walk. And now for us, Lord, here, God's, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's not just prior to salvation. That's throughout our lives as believers. We continue to sin and we can continue to fall short of your glory. But Lord, I pray that as believers, we would also have a great desire to be close with you, and that even to the extent of evaluating ourselves often, and when those things are exposed, claiming your word, asking for forgiveness, and repenting from those things so that we can have an intimate relationship with you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon our time of invitation, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name.